I realized that the underlying issues, the hormone imbalance, the inflammation, and the adrenal dysregulation, I call that the three-pronged or devil's pitchfork. I mean, literally, those are the, you know, key underlying issues that are causing some of these problems. Then we have underlying issues.
Welcome to the Inflammation Code podcast. It's me, your host, Dr. Shivani Gupta, and I have an incredible guest in store for you today, Dr. Anna Kabeca. She is beloved in the menopause, perimenopause space. She has her own clinic. She has her own incredible solutions and supplements that support us through the journey. And she's such an expert, speaking at medical conferences and all over the country on this topic. Welcome, Dr. Anna.
It's so good to be here with you, Shivani. Thank you.
So, Anna, I met you so long ago at different conferences. Then I got to spend some time with you this year in New York City at a conference. And you were doing a keynote on menopausal health and really showing other physicians and practitioners how they could understand more about this big transition journey that happens. Will you kick us off with your story of what led you to do this incredible work?
Thank you. Well, you know, there's the saying, your mess becomes your message. So that's certainly true in my situation. So first, I watched my mom from a young age. I think I was 16. She was 52, and she was undergoing her first heart surgery, cardiac bypass surgery. And I saw her struggle for the next 15 years, with the last five being on oxygen and then going in for another surgery. But she never made it off the table. Wow. And she was going in for an aortic valve replacement. They said, well, this is the reason why she's not oxygenating well and the cardio issues, but she was also diabetic. We have a strong family history of diabetes and heart disease in our family tree. And so, I kept saying, well, why did, like, what happened? What happened on the table? Surgery, you know, you hear the saying, surgery went perfect, but the patient died. God bless her soul. She taught me so much in life and taught me so much. I really committed to understanding what was going on here. And that led me to what I call underlying, really digging into the underlying science. I was a resident in OBGYN at Emory University at the time in Atlanta. And I had a love for, I was an OBGYN resident, but I had a love for cardiology from an early age because of my mom's story. And I, really tried to understand, okay, well, what happened here? What was going on? This doesn't make sense. And I realized that the underlying issues, the hormone imbalance, the inflammation, and the adrenal dysregulation, I call that the three-pronged or devil's pitchfork. I mean, literally, those are the, you know, key underlying issues that are causing some of these problems. Then we have underlying issues. But those were three keys that the best of the and brightest didn't address, right? And that
so true.
Every part of her was seen by a different specialist. And under, you know, under it all, in the American Diabetic Association diet wasn't really good.
Yeah.
It was really high in glucose or fructose. And so that had its own problems, you know, and it just really made me dig into the research. And so as an OBGYN and as a researcher, because I had done 3 years of research before I went to medical school in biomedical sciences. And I really dug into the research and I really tried to understand. And even with that, and as a solo practitioner in Southeast Georgia, because I was a National Health Service Corps scholar, so that put me in an underserved area.
Wow.
And I practiced in McIntosh County, Georgia, and Brunswick, Georgia. And I then post-traumatically experienced early menopause diagnosis, first a diagnosis of infertility at 39, and then followed with early menopause at 39. And here I was, you know, told that I would never be able to conceive another child on my own. I'd failed 6 rounds of the highest injectable doses of fertility medicines and no ovarian response. And then the diagnosis of, you know, ovarian insufficiency or early menopause. And it was devastating to me. It helped so many clients get pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, doing a lot of OB, you know, I'm OBGYN. So I took a sabbatical for a year. Shivani, I think that you'll find this interesting. So I had this background. My mom's a Palestinian Arab. So food is medicine growing up in her culture.
Absolutely.
Food is medicine. And so from the different spices and herbs and, you know, there's so much to that was really part of our lifestyle growing up. And so part of this journey for me was to visit family, to travel, to go to unknown places and explore and actually escape, right? So many women experience when we have stress, whether it's acute stress or post-traumatic stress or chronic everyday stress, the flight, freeze or fawn experience response. And that freeze or flight is really the escape. And so for me, when I look at the physiology of my decision to take a year sabbatical from my medical practice in Southeast Georgia, and this was in 2006, and travel around the world with two of my daughters who were 6 and 9 at the time of starting our journey, and homeschooled them along the way. So really kudos to all homeschooling parents, because it is hard. It is hard.
I'm sure.
And as a result of experiencing different cultures and medicinal foods, I was very curious. So one of our first stops was in Peru.
Nice.
And in Peru, my nurse that was with my clinic since early 2000 was Peruvian. And so we went to Peru to go to Machu Picchu and Cusco and her family in Lima. And they would say, well, if you're tired, drink some maca. If you're infertile, drink maca, you know? And then they elbowed my husband at the time and said, well, it's the Peruvian Viagra. So like, you know, we're going to drink some maca, right?
Yeah.
Give me that stuff. But I couldn't stand the taste. But I also wanted to understand what's the science behind it.
Sure.
And maca in and of itself, it's indigenous to Peru, and it grows above 10,000 feet in the Andes, and it was reported to have been taken by the famous Incan warriors before they went into battle to give them stamina and strength and endurance. And so when I looked at the composition of maca, it was rich in arginine, which increases nitric oxide, we know, which is which increases blood flow, which is exactly how Viagra works, right? So this Peruvian Viagra, there's something to this. It's also rich in certain very specific proteins, macaenes, to it. And it's known as an adaptogen, adrenal adaptogen, genetic adaptogen. So it is an incredible medicinal food.
Nice.
And it's in the cruciferous family. So that, for me, cruciferous vegetables are associated with improving breast health. So, of course, as a woman and as a GYN and seeing many patients with breast cancer histories or treatments, it was like essential. Okay, so this had a lot of really good properties, but I couldn't stand the taste.
I get that.
And I'm from a family of gourmands, right? The gastronomics and food and preparing food well and lots of spices and herbs. So I'm like, if this is such a good medicinal, you know, traditional food, there's science behind this. What else is out there? And so in Peru, I learned about cat's claw herb. And then again, trying to combat the bitterness, I'm like, what are some good fruits or fruit extracts I can add in? I learned about in Brazil, I learned about the acerola cherry, which is a small cherry-sized fruit that has like more than 10 times the vitamin C of an orange.
Wow.
And so it's potent antioxidants, rich polyphenols, really powerful. And then mangosteen. And it just went on from there, exploring greens and fibers and turmeric, right? Taking turmeric shots and spirulina shots and doing these different indigenous, you know, superfoods as I traveled and kind of combining things so I could choke down the maca. And as a result of that, I ended up formulating my Mighty Maca. But when I came back after a year of journeying and experiencing this travel, with the grace of God, not only was my early menopause reversed, but I naturally conceived my daughter, Ava Marie, at age 41 years old, the child I was told I would never be able to have.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And so that lit me on fire when I came back into practice and pregnant. I just like told my clients, your diagnosis isn't your destiny. We can reverse this. Let's get to the underlying issues and incorporating these superfoods. And that's where I formulated Mighty Maca, making it taste good.
Sure.
So my daughters would drink it too. And I just enough for my patients. And from there, it grew into a very popular functional supplement. So,
wow, this is quite a journey.
It was quite a journey.
We have so many parallels in our story because I grew up to a family all suffering with diabetes and then all suffering with heart disease. My grandma needed a quadruple bypass. everyone, my mother's father passed away of a heart attack. Again and again, I saw these after effects of diabetes. And it's such a big part of why I do what I do, because mm-hmm. I can't imagine that we're signing up for this. Mm-hmm. Like, how are we accepting this as our destiny and mm-hmm. fate? And I knew growing up that as that happened to my grandparent generation, it was already building in my parent generation. All the people in my parents' generation are diabetic. Mm-hmm. And then now they're in their 70s and we're seeing the same pattern. And then in my age category, all my cousins, everyone, when I go to Houston, they're like, your A1C is X. Ours is all like well over 6. You're phenomenal. And I'm like, no, guys, do you understand? We are our own epidemic. We mm-hmm. have to address this. Mm-hmm. So watching that and watching so much devastation, mm-hmm. I thought we have to learn a different way. And then like you, I traveled all around and found all these super spices that are so potent and healing and showed me I could heal myself.
Yes.
And in your case, to reverse infertility and reverse menopause, mm-hmm. profound.
Profound. I mean, I didn't think it was possible as an OBGYN. We weren't trained that way.
Sure. That's incredible. I mean, mm-hmm. that to me is so exciting because people right now are struggling with infertility. I could name 10 women on my fingers right now who I personally know mm-hmm. who went through big infertility journeys to finally have the children they have now. And we know IVF is not cheap. So it's and it's not even expensive financially, although it is. It's also expensive mentally, emotionally, physically.
There's absolutely
a massive price there. And if that's already an issue, fertility, I can only imagine what postpartum, perimenopause, menopause looks for our current and forward generations mm-hmm. as we're aging. And so when you did reverse your menopause, which good job, how did you then start to teach your patients about what to do next? And how did you start to guide people when they did finally move from their fertility journey into perimenopause, menopause? Most of my audience is more in that phase of life. And I know you teach so much, and you mentioned something, the devil's pitchfork. It's such a great way to say, you know, it's a big understanding.
Takes good women down and good people down, for sure.
It does. And so hormone, adrenals, inflammation.
Yep.
And I talk a lot about inflammation on this mm-hmm. podcast. My audience is probably sick of the topic, but I'm going to keep banging that drum. Yeah. When you said hormone and adrenal, will you talk a little more about adrenals? Because yes. I have a theory that when we are running into our 30s, like late 30s, we hit a wall called 40. Then we run into the next one called 45, which I am right there. I'm 45 now, and gosh, is it a struggle. Then you hit 50, 55, beyond. So will you talk about why it is so hard and how that devil's pitchfork kind of gets us at those stages?
Yeah, I definitely will. And especially, again, my journey too, right? Yeah. So I'm now 60 this year. I'll be 60 this year. And I have witnessed through my own lens of my own personal story, that of my family, and certainly that of, you know, the more than 15,000 women I've personally taken care of. And it's so important to understand what's happening physiologically and where we need to support along this timeline. And I think that's really important because there's a lot of confusion and media and social media and all that stuff doesn't help, but there's a lot of confusion in it. So in understanding the physiologic changes as we age and the entire ovarian adrenal connection and how important that is and looking at the hormonal cascade. So we think of, first of all, that in our 20s, we have our peak levels of DHEA, predominantly adrenal and ovarian hormones. So in our reproductive years, 50% of DHEA is produced in our adrenal glands and 50% in our ovaries. And now as ovarian function starts to decline in our 30s, 40, you know, it's a steady decline after birth, but as our ovarian function starts to decline, we have a decrease in DHEA. So that significant DHEA starts before we really see a decline in other hormones. The next one is progesterone.
I'm going to pause you right there. I think people underestimate the importance of DHEA.
Yeah.
I'm in a functional medicine program right now, and we're in the menopause section. And I looked at my cohort buddy, and I said, shouldn't we all be on DHEA right now? Everyone in their 40s, 50s, and 60s? Will you explain it a little better? That and progesterone.
Yeah.
Because I think people don't understand the importance.
Right. And it's so important because DHEA, we want our adrenals and our ovaries to function as long as possible and our adrenals to pick up the slack and keep functioning. And so this comes into the integrative and functional approach is addressing adrenal health. So you want to remove things that are toxic on the adrenals. And this starts in our 20s. Well, my daughters know about this. Mighty Maca is a huge, this formula is very supportive to the adrenals. So that's often foundational first.
Got it.
And so I work to improve the body's natural production of hormones and ability to use them better as we age. So more efficiently and more sensitively, et cetera, as we age. So the first thing is really supporting these adrenal glands. And DHEA supports immune system, supports bone, supports brain, supports vaginal and vulvar tissue, supports bladder health. And we have great research. And this, one of the, you know, my early work as a GYN and doing urogynecologic surgeries like bladder incontinence procedures. So for when you cough or sneeze and you leak urine, you know, there's different types, but that type is stress urinary incontinence. There's also urgency incontinence or urge incontinence. And that's when you feel like, oh, I can't make it to the bathroom. I've got this, you know, I got to get there in time, or I know I got to go to the bathroom and, you know, have a hard time making it there. And those incontinence symptoms are also associated with the hormonal health of your vulvovaginal area and urethral area, as well as the microbiome of the vagina and the what's called the urobiome, the microbiome of the bladder and the urethra. That is the urethral and bladder microbiome are the same predominantly as the vaginal microbiome. Low diversity, predominantly lactobacilli species, specifically Crispatus, Einers, Gasseri, Gensai. And these are really protective. And we want low diversity in the vagina and the bladder, whereas we want a lot of diversity in the GI tract, right?
Correct.
High diversity, high GI health, and high immune system. So like as we start to lose this hormone, and especially have a couple children, you know, DHEA is stressed among other things.
Sure.
But, and stress in our life between age 35 to 50, we associate another really important hormone associated with the ovaries and the adrenals and part of our immune and neurologic function is progesterone.
Right.
And we lose 75%. So before we even really start losing estrogen, we're dropping progesterone significantly, and you add stress to that budget, you know,
True.
That bucket, you increasing cortisol, or you've had adverse childhood experiences or ACEs, you've had trauma, everyday chronic stress or post-traumatic stress as I'd experienced.
Sure.
And that becomes even bigger progesterone deficiency. Now we for a while called this, and maybe still do, but estrogen dominance is really oftentimes progesterone insufficiency.
Wow.
And this is such a neuroprotective hormone.
Yeah.
As this is declining, and this is why we want to support it, again, adaptogens. And we found in clinical studies looking at our use of Mighty Maca Plus as an adaptogenic blend, an improvement in DHEA and progesterone.
Wow.
Just physiologically.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Because most people aren't even getting tested. So I have been a big fan of functional medicine. I love that it gives you the data and then it also gives you the tools. I find so much of functional medicine is reaching into all the integrative modalities to help us.
Yes.
But using the science, and I'm an integrative practitioner, so I love it when anyone's saying all these toolkits are valid. And in functional medicine, if you do test at that level, I just got a report back and it felt like 30 pages of blood work on myself. But we tested for DHEA. We tested for progesterone. I am low in progesterone. And so what's interesting is you said if you are low in progesterone, many people will call this estrogen dominance.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll never give you estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am basically pushing my dream team of doctors and saying, hey, I'm 45. I want the protective benefits of estrogen. And they're saying, well, let's test, let's see. But it's interesting that we can kind of have these issues sometimes where we're masking and not understanding where we need to support.
Right.
And also, because your progesterone doesn't look like your thyroid pill, I think we're so programmed as a society right now that my medication I have to take, my supplements are optional.
Yes.
Versus progesterone should just be put in a bottle called mandatory homework. You have to do it. And then I love what you said, which was herbs, spices, ancient tools. will actually support you to build what you need inside your own body.
Yes.
So you do not have to take it from the outside.
Right.
That is so powerful.
Yes.
And I'm a big fan of Ayurvedic super spices and teas and all these solutions. Yeah. And so what you're saying is you made a tea and I could take that and those two hormones that I know I want to have because I'm in my 40s and they've been tanking since my 20s, I can have in a natural form.
You can absolutely have it in a natural form. That's the preferred form always, nice. Right?
Yeah.
And so for me looking at this framework, it is this kind of supplementation of supporting our adrenals, supporting our body's natural DHEA levels. And if we need to apply, like for me, I always say, okay, clitoris to anus, most important real estate of our body, because incontinence, vaginal dryness, discomfort, and dysbiosis, bacterial vaginosis, and increasing risk of HPV or vaginal atrophy symptoms also are all part of that, right? So all part of that. So I created Jolva, which has DHEA and Alpine Rose plant stem cell combination in an emollient base to be used to help with that DHEA to help improve and pelvic floor exercise. I always say pelvic floor exercise till we die. Yeah. But we see improvements in vaginal comfort, in pleasure, in bladder symptoms. And there again, to support our body's natural glandular secretions and all the way down to the muscle layer. So a lot of research from late 1990s and early 2000s by Dr. Fernand Labrie out of McGill University in Toronto in Canada, looked at DHEA vaginally and created the Prasterone or Intrarosa. Mm-hmm. And the studies that they did, very safe in clients with history of breast cancer, always talk with your physician if you have any personal medical history or anything to clarify. But the research, and I published it on my, I have so much research on DHEA and breast health on my website. And because it was so important to me that I take care of my breast cancer patients who were left basically to dry up and survive, survive and not allowed to thrive. And that important piece of what we can do safely is really important to me and of course to my clientele. So that's where, I'll add the adaptogenic support. It's so important.
Sure.
And the, topical DHEA and or adding, if needed, additional oral DHEA. But I like to build up our DHEA through adaptogens as much as possible first. And then we can add. I'm terrible. Oral DHEA breaks me out, even 7-keto form and all different kinds. So that's where I initially started developing the cream topical formula to bypass. So that's a nice way to get it. And also you want to get it on skin that needs it, under the eyes for decreasing eye dryness and of course fine lines and wrinkles and all the good cosmetic benefits. And then progesterone and pregnenolone.
Sure.
The two combination. And so also taking that orally, vaginally, or topically are options. I have a topical formula also with tripeptide in it and some essential oils to really help with that balancing effect and rejuvenation effect of the combination of ingredients. But that progesterone in your mid-30s, so again, dropping from 35 to 50 by 75%, of course, we're going to feel something.
Sure.
Of course. And then again, adding on stress and emotional fatigue, relationship work, just busyness and compiled with adverse childhood experiences or PTSD really creates this worsening period. Mood swing wise, anger, anxiety, depression. Many women get a psychiatric diagnosis during this time when it's hormonal.
Wow.
When it's hormonal.
Absolutely.
And so it's really important to understand the hormonal neurotransmitter connection, say the neuroendocrine connection this time becomes really, really important, because as that progesterone's dropping, that neuroprotective effect, progesterone decreases tryptophan breakdown. And tryptophan is necessary to make serotonin, which is necessary for melatonin, right? So that low serotonin associated with anxiety, low melatonin associated with insomnia, exhaustion, fatigue. So we would start up here instead of down here. It just makes sense.
Right. I mean, a question I have for you, I've had so many experts, because this is, it's like the the wild, wild west, I find sometimes. We're in this moment where incredible women practitioners are saying menopause is an issue. We need to really look at this. But when you talk to the regular woman out there, if she goes to her doctor and says, I need help, typically an OB will say, you know what, you need an antidepressant and maybe some birth control will help regulate you. Which, so it feels like we're in ancient times in some ways people are not listening. Yeah. And then there's this group of women like you who are leading the charge saying, hey, this is complex, but we can figure out what you need. And you threw a few words in there, pregnenolone, precursor, DHA, big precursor. We should know where we're at. Yeah. And we're all so different. We never, like, I have friends where I'm like, everyone should take progesterone. And they're like, Shivani, I know you get excited about things, but that doesn't mean we all need it. And they'll get tested and they'll say, my levels are normal. I'm like, okay, but something else is wrong. I know something is wrong. I need you to go to functional medicine. I need you to get tested because you kind of need to see the whole spectrum. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when you talked about progesterone, estrogen, all these other things, testosterone, that is kind of like a basket that we kind of need to understand on an annual basis. Mm-hmm. Which way are we going? What is happening here? Why are we so empty and unsupported? But you just brought up mood. And I was sharing with you before we started recording that when I went to a specific doctor a couple of years ago and said, my brain is not working. I need to be sharp again. Something is wrong. I'm trying to write an entire book for Hay House and I'm so excited, but I need access to all those files and I don't know why I can't get there. So she optimized me for thyroid, but we also talk so much about, her team asked me a question about mood. And they're like, how's your mood? And I was like, my mood is fine. And I wonder if you see a lot of high achieving women out there who are so used to functioning at such a high level that they don't allow themselves to even have mood dysregulation because it's not really acceptable. Yep. I'm expected to wake up, be a nice mom. I'm expected to go to work, be a nice leader. I'm an entrepreneur. I have a team in place. So I'm managing my tone all day, whether I want to or not. I pick them up at 4 o'clock from school, 4:30. Then it's mommy time into the evening. And what I started seeing in perimenopause is things started to fray around 8 o'clock at night. Where all of a sudden by 8 o'clock, my tolerance, my ability to deal with noise, because I became extremely sound sensitive with people, personalities, and their needs. And so I told that team, I said, I really wish I just had my own house. And at 8 o'clock, I could walk out. And eventually it got so bad, I wanted to leave at 6. And that's when I had a reckoning with myself. And I was like, why do you not like everyone after 6? You're a mom. This job doesn't end till 10 p.m. when you get in bed. And so will you kind of talk about mood and rage and these things that come up in perimenopause that are probably unpopular to talk about?
Yeah.
I still feel after at 8 o'clock, all of a sudden I can feel my energy is gone. My tank is empty. I don't understand why no one's eaten dinner. So I kind of leave it all there and start walking away. Cause I'm like, if you can't fit in my timelines of what I find acceptable to serve you, I'm done here. Like, I gotta go because I'm not gonna be the sweet, nice person that I was before.
Yeah, no, it's a real phenomenon. Our physiology affects our behavior, and this symptoms associated, like, that are good indicators that it's perimenopause and not a psychiatric disorder or something wrong with you or whatever it may be. It is, I would say, you know, it's that mood swings, it's that worsening PMS, it's that, you know, I give everything at the office. I have nothing left to give. My tank is empty. It's that I'm sleeping, but I'm never feeling rested. It's these are common symptoms. Another one that's not so commonly spoken about, but is real. It's like, I hate my husband 2 weeks out of the month, you know, or where did this monster in me come from? Why did I react or overreact to that situation instead of responding from a place of, you know, compassion. And it's so true. And that's, I really dove deep into studying that because, you know, as my journey reversed early menopause, had my daughter, Ava Marie, she's 18 now and I'm 60 this year. So, you know, raising and then addressing through my own experience, and I still had PTSD. So my PTSD was caused by the traumatic loss of my son in a tragic accident. And he was only 18 months and 3 days old. And that was in 2006. So that certainly post-traumatically contributed to my early menopause diagnosis. But like everyone who's had, and I want to just seed a word of hope is that we can convert post-traumatic growth into post-traumatic stress into post-traumatic growth.
Sure.
And that's really important. This is what I've really made my life mission to figure out. And so in my 40s, so that full-blown perimenopause hit me in my mid-40s, 45 to 48, and that's when I experienced, after having lost 80 pounds, experienced the 20-pound weight gain without doing anything different, literally without doing anything different.
Right.
And this rage and this irritability and this loss of my capacity to function in so many ways. And I realized at that point that, you know, something had to shift. And of course, the weight gain, when someone loses a tremendous amount of weight and then starts gaining it, you're like, I'm going to be 300 pounds before this stops. Like,
sure.
What do I do? So that's when I worked in keto and then added the alkalinizers because I recognized I wasn't keto. I didn't have keto flu, but I had keto craziness. And so I'm like, okay, my nervous system isn't protected here. Women have to do it differently. And that's when I tell my clients, and I did what I tell my clients to do, check your urine pH. Mm-hmm. And I was as acidic as the pH paper read. So, you know, for so many reasons, that is never good, not alone just acid on the health of the bladder and the bacteria and issues long term. But it was that, okay, my body is in a huge stress physiology. So I started adding the alkalinizers, the fiber-rich foods, the medicinal foods that I grew up on, more herbs and spices and, you know, minerals. And this is in 2014, really digging into this. And I started to feel better. Mm-hmm. I started to feel what is talked about in the Bible, the peace that surpasses all understanding, because nothing in my external environment changed, but I was a better mom.
Wow.
I was was able to write and create, and I implemented this program. I called it Magic Menopause since then. Mm. But I was like, okay, if this is working for me, the weight came off. 18 of the 20 pounds came off within 6 weeks.
Okay.
And that was just really eye-opening for me. So I called in, this funny story, I called in my most difficult patients at the time, and we met in my living room every Thursday evening. And when I went over these foundations that I built out for me and to help my clients, and every single one of them felt better.
Yeah.
And so this concept of intermittent fasting to bump into ketosis in a healthy way,
nice.
Because as our glucose is starting to decline in perimenopause and our mid-30s to 40s, that our brain is starving for fuel.
True.
Because glucose, the use of glucose we know is estrogen dependent, but it's more likely progesterone dependent. And as we lose this hormonal buffer, our brain's basically starving for fuel, but the use of ketones for fuel in the brain is not hormone dependent.
Hmm.
And myself and every one of them felt like clearer, at home in their body, better able to respond instead of react or overreact, mood improvements, energy improvements, weight improvements. And so all of that intermittent fasting, and I call it the keto green approach or keto alkalinizing approach, adding in the alkalinizer is so important, especially for women.
Nice.
Men can get away with,
everything.
Yeah. Because they have 10 times more testosterone.
Yeah. But it's so unfair. Me and my friends are always like, this is so unfair.
So unfair.
They can just fast and not eat and they lose weight. And we are like fighting with everything.
Right. And especially when we have our lineage, we have survival genes.
Correct.
And but they're manifested as cardiovascular disease genes or diabetes genes or fat genes or acne genes or PCOS. These are amazing genetics. So when I have a client, especially a young girl with PCOS that comes into my practice, I always tell her, you have the most amazing genetics. Like, you are designed to build muscle, to be a leader, to be a fast actor, to endure.
Oh.
And it's just, we've got to incorporate healthy whole foods, intermittent fasting, no more snacking. I found that to be really important as part of the implementation of the program, at least 80% of the time. Adding the adaptogens, supporting the hormones. And this is where I said my hormones were dialed in my 40s. I'm a hormone specialist.
Sure.
And so it takes more than hormones to fix our hormones. And so understanding the lifestyle and nutrition aspects were key, but also recognizing the power of cortisol on our physiology. Because as I started checking my urine pH, and this is something you can do for pennies a day, everyone, it just gives you such important information on your body.
This is a big deal. And we want to
protect our bladders for our life.
I mean, this is a big deal. Alkalizing your life. I went with my mom and sister to a place called Hippocrates Health Institute in 2018. My mom is a diabetic, insulin dependent over 35 years. And I thought, I need to get her out of taking these 10, 12, 15 medications she just got prescribed. I had shown up in Houston. I'm from Houston, Texas. And my mom couldn't eat anything. And I was like, Mom, you have to eat. You are diabetic. You are going to take insulin. And every time your sugar tanks, you're going to go drink soda or sugar. You're going to have a Sprite or an orange juice. Mm-hmm. This is a roller coaster that's horrible. Please just eat the meal. Mm-hmm. She goes, I can't eat food. Everything tastes disgusting. And I said, okay, what changed since I was last here? So she pulled out her box of prescriptions. I called her primary care doc and said, what are you doing? Who needs 15 drugs? Are you crazy? The side effects are she's no longer eating food, worse than giving her the medication you're giving her at this point. And the doctor said, you know, your mom is the way she is. So I had to protect her. And then I understood, okay, you're trying to protect her with BP medication, statins. You're trying to protect for the liability, but you're forgetting that what she is and what she needs right now. And so as we talk about alkalizing, when I went to Hippocrates, they put us on green juice. They put us on green juice with algae. We were drinking wheatgrass shots twice a day. It was not an easy program.
No.
It was pretty disgusting, but effective. And that's where I learned the power of bringing in more alkalization. But what you just talked about was keto with alkalization. I have done keto diets in the past. I'm vegetarian, so it's much harder for me, I think. But as I did them, the weight melted off my body. I did that when I was younger. Now, in my mid-40s, it's a bigger lift to compel myself to hold big intermittent fasts. I'm fasting right now, so I'm on a 16-hour fast at this point. You're right, when we hold the big fasts, our brain works great. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing. So I can hold 12, 14 easily. Some days I can hold the 16. But we're getting such mixed messages right now. Mm-hmm. We're getting mixed messages around like, well, you shouldn't just intermittent fast. You need to honor your body, honor your intuition, honor your cycle. Be gentler. You're a woman. So that's my first question. And then my second question is, do you recommend keto long-term or is it a short-term goal and you keep reaching into it as you need to for weight management?
Yeah. So good question. I'll answer your second question first. So with keto, and I say keto green, right? Because we know the importance of fiber. We know the importance of polyphenols and to pay attention to that. And ideally, we're bumping into ketosis on a regular basis. But initially, you may want to stay in ketosis for a couple months, if not longer at a time, because we're addressing underlying cardiometabolic disease, neurodegenerative disease, brain fog issues. Sure. Nothing better to create insulin sensitivity than this healthy keto, you know, approach.
Nice.
And so in the importance of protein and healthy fats. I mean, I was in high school and college in the 80s, and that was the low-fat movement. It destroyed a generation of women's hormones.
For sure.
So we have to be really aware of the importance of healthy fats and how that is, and good fats.
Right? I have that problem. I literally have to focus on it. I say, eat healthy fat, because I was born in the 80s. That was the key message. And so let me say that one again for the audience. Eat your healthy fat. Don't cut it out of your life. It is integral, like you're saying.
Yes. It's so important for hormones because our hormones from cholesterol, we make progesterone, pregnenolone, and then we make DHEA or cortisol, and then we make from DHEA testosterone and estrogen. So in that hierarchy, that's how I want to support to the best of our ability those functions.
Right.
And so with this, you know, I say at least 80% of the time keto green, and certainly sometimes more, sometimes less. And those with certain genetics and phenotypes, it's important because for me, when I was in ketosis long-term, and then I, for my third book, Menu Pause, I had five different 6-day menu plans that each paused something. And so one was a carnivore plan. Sure. One was a carb up plan because we need those carbs too. Yeah. One was a autoimmune paleo keto green recipe. So very low inflammatory. But as I was working on, you know, the carnivore plan, I started gaining weight. I'm like, wait, I have no carbs. How am I gaining weight? Yeah. And I'm doing yoga one morning and I'm going from downward dog into what's that called?
Like cobra pose, upward dog.
Chaturanga.
Yes, whatever. Chaturanga.
So anyway, and my big toe's hurting. I'm like, what is going on? And then it clicked. Hold on a second. I had just had a conversation with David Perlmutter when he was publishing his book, Drop Acid. And so I'm like, okay, it's got to be my uric acid. Sure. So I just added more of my Mighty Maca, added more greens and alkalinizers, more minerals in bone broth and electrolytes. And I started really incorporating this. This is in 2021, 22. And that was so eye-opening for me. When I checked my uric acid level, it was high for a woman. You know, in the normal range, y'all, you're not diagnosed with gout, but for men, you know, for men, we want it below 5.3. For women, I want it below 5. Mm. And at the time I'd been clearing it, so it must have been higher, but it was like 5.7, 5.8. And so that increases your slowing down of your metabolism and increases weight gain when your uric acid is high. Wow. So when we're on these programs, and I heard it from other women, well, I'm gaining weight, what's going on? I'm like, let's check your uric acid.
Sure.
Let's do a blood uric acid test and see where you're at. And let's really work on, you know, getting up your alkalinizers, your detoxifiers, sure. low inflammatory. Uric acid is inflammatory to our system. That's why like the big toe is classic gout presentation.
Right.
And men will experience that or joint pains. And so checking on that uric acid is really important. So now I forgot your first question.
Intermittent fasting.
Intermittent fasting is critical. It is at least 13 hours based on the research published in 2016. And I've advocated it for hormonal health because your mood improves, your clarity improves, your insulin sensitivity improves, so inflammation decreases. It is critical. Now, how much? Vary it.
Sure.
Vary it. And but based on the research and a study in 2016 published in the Journal of the American Medical Association looked at women who had a history of breast cancer. Hmm. So we know the number one risk for breast cancer is a history of breast cancer.
Sure.
And women who fasted at least 12.5 to 13 hours between dinner the night before and when they broke fast was significantly reduced. Significantly wow. reduced. So for me, it's
a no-brainer.
13 hours, no brainer. We can all do 13 hours. Sometimes you have to train yourself up to it.
Sure.
But if you're eating, you know, healthy fats and high quality protein
sure.
and lots of good fiber rich alkalinizing and cruciferous vegetables and sprouts and herbs and spices, all of this is key to and digestive. I learned from Ayurvedic medicine about the importance of like bitter melon and
yes.
bitters and digestive supportive foods that is part of it. And so I incorporate fermented foods as part of meals. And it's really important to consider that because this helps improve our physiology, it helps improve our hormonal balance, vaginal health, bladder health, sexual health, all of those key aspects.
You know, I love that you really have such a holistic approach because so many in the menopause space are educating us from so many different angles, and I love it. I love learning. I'm such a nerd. And so I've learned so much in these last few years from great guests like you about thyroid health, estrogen, our estrogen's tanking. It's affecting everything. Testosterone, progesterone, even pregnenolone. But the conversation around DHEA, pregnenolone, and progesterone was pretty profound. And I think women need to understand how important it is to test it, to get to the bottom of
Absolutely.
It. But you also talked about going on this profound wellness journey for yourself and taking that time to heal. And I find that when we are in these moments, I just had a year like that. It's 2026. My book published February 3rd with Hay House, which was so exciting.
Big congratulations.
Thank you. And my TEDx was February 4th. And January this year, what no one will know is I went through a huge tragedy in my family. Mm-hmm. And it was so profound and it was so close. I was in charge of planning the funeral. And normally in my family, no one puts me in charge of bad things. They know that for me, Shivani is the kind one, the sweet one. Everyone actually protects me and my family. No one wants me to travel alone. It's almost like everyone wants to be my guards around me. That's how much my nature is not meant to deal with bad things. Even my sister, if there's a hurricane, she's like, I'm flying in to take care of you and your kids. I can't trust you to manage the situation. I'm like, I'm an adult. She's like, I know you're an adult, Shivani, but bad things are not your thing. Like, you're not good in an emergency. And so after January, and then I'm, like I said, a high achieving woman knows how to perform. I can still perform and speak, even if I just went through something hard. I got the flu, got through the book launch. And afterwards, I'm in what I'm now calling a sabbatical. I'm still performing. If I have something on my schedule, I'll still do it. But do you find in your practice that when women go through something really hard or really tough, they underestimate how long the recovery will be? I think when we're younger, we have resilience.
Yeah.
And as we're aging, if we're not understanding the chemical shifts that are happening and we haven't built the reserves, then when we get wiped out like that, the comeback is going to take time. And you took a year. Like I literally think I should leave for Italy now and not come back till I've done my Eat, Pray, Love trip. Because sometimes as women, we just don't give ourselves the time to heal. And we don't understand that that underlying was the key to staying resilient. And even then you might not have the resilience for what life throws at you in the older ages.
Well, we have to work at resilience as we age. Yeah. And so from the hormonal perspective, supporting our natural production of DHEA, indoor supplementing, progesterone and pregnenolone, and testosterone and estrogen, and supporting our gut microbiome, which is critical to aging, and vaginal microbiome and bladder microbiome. Like all of these areas from a gynecologic perspective are critical and aren't talked about and under research, to be honest. So there's not that enough information. And I have researched it for years and I still have lots of questions. So, and then it's the what I have focused on is not stress management, because I don't know about you, but like, oh, Shivani, you got a book launch. Go do some meditation and stress manage. Like that is just stressful. Don't tell me to do that, right? Like that is stressful to me. And then, but what the antidote, and I realized this, that, you know, in 2014, is that the mornings I did my gratitude journaling, I did my prayer meditation, I walked on the beach, my urine pH was more alkaline each day. It was throughout the day. I had this more alkaline. I'm like, wait, I'm eating exactly the same thing. What is happening? And that's when I went into study further renal physiology. And because cortisol increases hydrogen ion secretion across the renal tubule. So that gives you that acidic urinary pH. That's a marker. Cortisol does that. It is robbing Peter to pay Paul. It is breaking down and changing the electron exchange across the cell membrane. So, okay, so that's cortisol. But oxytocin is the most alkalinizing hormone in our body. And now with more research in oxytocin, and it supports your immune system. It supports muscle cell regeneration. So if you, and it is a common trait in communities in the blue zone.
Sure.
And this is something I grew up with, my family from war-torn areas, Palestine, Israel, and Lebanon, but yet a sense of humor. And they live longer than the three siblings that came to the U.S. All three siblings died in their 50s. My mom at 65 and my two uncles in their 50s. And my family, my aunt, in Haifa just passed away at 91 years old.
Wow.
And so, but I study this from the understanding, why did this happen when my mom passed away? Why did this happen to her and her brothers when they're the same genetics as our other relatives dealing with diabetes and cardiovascular disease? And understanding, first of all, polypharma, like you said about your mom, devastating. By the time my mom died, she was on 13 medications. And first one started in her 30s. And diabetic medication, antidepressant medication, antihypertensive. I mean, like, just name it. They all affect you physiologically.
Correct.
And they change your physiology and increase inflammation in your body. So always addressing the underlying cause is key to removing that. And I've gotten people in their 70s and 80s off medication. So it's possible really at any age. And so I want to encourage that aspect and what you're doing in your sphere and your expertise and focus on inflammation. That is so key from a natural perspective. Because that go into that. But what happens is when we increase oxytocin, it really lowers cortisol. Nice. It lowers those surges and the effect, it decreases inflammation in our body and it's regenerative. Nice. So part of my practice and understanding is to, what are you doing for fun?
Right.
What are you doing? Like, what are you doing to increase oxytocin? Because travel around the world, let me tell you, that's stressful too.
Correct.
But, you know, meeting new people, having conversations, feeding your soul, laughing with girlfriends, going shopping, playing, positive touch, all of these things increase oxytocin. So I want to change the conversation around stress management to be increasing oxytocin or oxyplay. Like, what are you doing for oxyplay? How are you microdosing oxytocin throughout the day? Now, sometimes I do prescribe it for patients, especially my burnout physicians or, you know, on the way home from work, have a, you know, whiff of oxytocin so that you get home in your body and your physiology is reset. You get out of that cortisol, but we have to learn to do this, and we can through our positive mindset, focus. And I don't say that lightly. I know what it's like to want to die. I know that. I know deep depression. It is essential. Increasing oxytocin is essential for life and for quality life and immune function. And so our family in the Middle East tell lots of jokes, right? Can celebrate weddings for a week at a time. Yeah. And everyone's invited. Celebrate birthdays, anniversary, name days. I mean, it's very much part of the culture to have community and laughter and like a safe environment to be with each other. And it's so all of those things increase oxytocin. That is better than anything I can write on a prescription pad.
I love that. And as you know, I wish I could talk to you all day. I really do. I love the term oxyplay. And what I have done since what happened in January is I'm reading fiction novel series. I've finished a series that was probably, I don't know, 10,000 pages in 10 days because all I wanted to do was
read. Which series was it?
It was called ACOTAR.
I loved them. They were great.
A Court of Thorns and Roses. I started and I couldn't stop.
It's so great.
Now I'm reading the next one, which is 11 books, and I'm almost done. So it showed me if you get off social media, you have a lot of free time. I am into hugs in my family. I just want to hug everyone and cuddle. I spent time with my girlfriends in a way that I never made the space. They're all like, Shivani, you're this free to hang? I'm like, apparently, because I'm prioritizing this. And so oxyplay, I think, is what we reach for when we realize how depleted we are and how much we need it. And I agree with you. It is the antidote we need, especially in this world right now that is so stressful for the nervous system, I think, of most. So I know we have to wrap because, you know, we're hitting the end of our time. But I wanted to ask you where everyone can find you. Can you share a little about your magical menopause program?
Sure.
Your maca. I'm so excited to try it. I want to try all these incredible tools you've created for us. So will you share them with the audience?
Yes, absolutely. And thank you. I have loved our conversation. And it's great to be with a like-minded individual. So easy to find me at dranna.com. So dranna.com. On social media at The Girlfriend Doctor. My products and programs are all available at my website at dranna.com and thousands of pages of content and podcast and lots of free information for you there and resources. Now, my Magic Menopause program is one of my hallmark programs. It's 8 weeks long and really take you through foundations, understanding testing and hormones. So there's a waiting list for it now. So I encourage you to check out magicmenopause.com for that. And yeah, contact me, message me or my team on social media. And I look forward to helping answering any questions. And thank you for being here. Oh, and I have my books, The Hormone Fix, Keto Green 16, and Menopause, available anywhere books are sold.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Dr. Anna. You are incredible. I have been following you online for a while. I love everything that you've created. And I love that you've created such natural solutions for us to really increase our hormone health at the time we need it most. So thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
So one thing I'm going to just share with your audience, a free gift.
Sure.
So if they go to dranna.com/tribe, that they can get free Jolva trial, Mighty Maca trial samples or just paying for shipping. And also some free resources, my 10-day breeze through menopause program free, and just for your listeners. So dranna.com/tribe. And any of your audience that buys anything from my site, let them use the code Dr. Shivani, so Dr. Shivani, to get an extra discount.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And thank you everyone for joining me on the Inflammation Code podcast. To learn more about it, you can visit me at drshivani.com. See you guys next week.